Can you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Stacy Copenhaver, your mother, mother of Lola Malesio and Ava Malesio.
So I'm going to ask you some questions. And the first question I'm going to ask you is, can you tell me about the person who has had the greatest influence on your life? And what lessons did they teach you?
That's a tough one. I would say I can't narrow it down to just one person. So am I okay to
maybe like
give like a top three, top four?
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, obviously my mother, good and mostly good influences, mostly great lessons. She's definitely like lived through example and teaching. Like the greatest influence she's had on me is, you know, pushing me to pursue education, like being a decent and kind person. And always, I would say that this is good and bad, she's greatly influenced like my work ethic, and I would say like always the pursuit to push myself.
Like, how would you describe your work ethic?
A little crazy. You know, for example, just like to give you an example of this, like my mother was a school teacher and we were always expected, like as soon as we came home, we changed our clothes, we did our homework, and then we were able to go out and play. And so for my mom, if you could do something well, there was always an opportunity to do it better. So that has like both good and bad sides. Like I remember, you know, studying really, really, really hard and getting an A minus in a class. And she's like, well, if you study a little bit harder, you could get an A. Or, you know, pushing on science projects instead of just doing the volcano. My mom, I think in second grade, I did my science partner and I, like, we were always expected to enter the science fair, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's not optional. Mm-hmm. If there's an opportunity to learn something, by God, you better learn something. So, like, science fair project for second grade was using like clay mold and molding an anatomically accurate system of the body of all the organs and things like that. Or, you know, if you do science and you do a dissection, like you have to, the dissection has to be like really ridiculously accurate. Like,
yeah.
if there's extra credit, you do the extra credit. So, I mean, in a way, that's influenced my life, that I am a crazy workaholic person. And I think it drives you guys crazy that I don't think I go as far as my mom, but I think that I push you guys a little. I'm not as hard on you as she was on me, but it's good that you have your father to balance you out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I would also say, like, so, like, my mom has been a great influence. She's taught me lots of things. She's like incredibly skilled in so many things, self-taught, you know. She's a great, like, in addition to being a high school teacher, she's she taught herself carpentry, she can weld things, she's an amazing gardener. Like, she's a pretty well-rounded person. So you're not gonna let me do the other ones, are you?
What?
I would say like you and your sister as well. Yeah, the other people.
I thought that was like.
I will say that you guys have helped, whereas I've always like was driven and a workaholic and pushed myself. Like you guys have helped
teach me
patience.
Oh,
you helped teach me patience.
Okay,
which. I mean, motherhood's a whole nother ball game. Like, you have to, you can't expect perfection all the time, and sometimes you just have to do the best that you can with what you have.
going off that idea of like your like life, you know, like in the past, you have some life experience.
Yes.
Pile on. So
thanks.
So what are some important lessons you've learned in life? Like overall. Or maybe like what are some important lessons and like how did you figure out that?
Okay.
Like what really opened your eyes?
Oh gosh.
To like moral.
These questions. Okay, well I think one of the biggest lessons of life is just be kind where you can.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind. The world is hard enough, and I mean, we all need reminders of that, myself included, for sure. But I would say I've had some great friends who have like excelled at kindness through their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think your father is a good example. So I've tried to surround myself by kind people.
Nice. I like that.
Okay. And then be curious. You may not always like that. That's in that pushing yourself vein. Like, I think there's always something to learn. There's always an opportunity to be curious and to listen and to keep your eyes open and, you know, try not to miss the things that, like, if you're rushing by that, you know, take the opportunity. Like, there's always a moment to learn something.
Yeah,
I know you love that one.
Okay. felt like kind of a dig.
Yes, it
anyways,
is.
Let's go off that idea of like surrounding yourself with like nice people and stuff. Like, how much do you think those nice people like affected your life? Like, if you were to like not have them, do you think like you would be like way different as a person? Do you think they like really shaped you as a person, like by being around them?
Well, I'm sure they shaped me as a person. I will say, like, I grew up in a family that was very, like, it was kind of a tough family. Very tough, like a lot of sarcasm, a lot of like verbal digs, things like that. So like having a best friend all through like elementary and middle school and high school and college who like was just kind and supportive and and not to say that my friends were like innocent little you know, perfect people. Like, I surrounded myself, like, I had a really great group of friends growing up, especially in high school, who were funny, who were still kind, but definitely funny and sarcastic, but like had like all around, you know, great people. And I took the opportunity, you know, I basically lived at my best friend's house, like all the summers and whatever chance I could get, because, you know, she was such a great person. And you know, worked a whole lot to pay for college. And my friends, I was lucky enough to, like, we all chose, anytime one of us got a job, like, we all chose that place and all worked together at it.
Yeah.
So.
Is that, like, do you think the whole, like, do you think that's, like, how you would describe your childhood as, is, like, those, like, memories?
I mean, I think, like, my childhood was spent, it's, like, very differently than yours, like, partly because my mom is a teacher and she'd had enough of kids most of the day.
So she would like kick you out.
She would kick us out. Like, all of summer was spent like being locked outside of the house. You know, partly not just because she wanted her time and she wanted a clean house, which four children would not let her have, but part of it was like she was raised in the outdoors. My mother grew up on a farm, my father grew up on a farm. So like you spent a lot of time outdoors, and it was really important to, like, number one, to give her peace and quiet, but also to, like, be outside and be kids. We had a lot of freedom. It's not like, it's kind of different than what you were, like, how you guys have it today. in that, like, yeah, you get locked out of the house and, like, you've got bikes, you got little bike gangs of all the kids in the neighborhood. I grew up in a neighborhood with, like, working class neighborhood with a ton of kids, so that, you know, it was your own fault if you were bored. There's always, like, a game to start up, whether it's kickball, you could go skateboarding, you could go biking, you could, you know, we had total freedom. I didn't even have to ask my mom or tell her where I was going. Like, I would get on my bike and go to the library or go hang out at my best friend Chris's house for, like, an entire day. And the expectation was you have to be home when the streetlights are on. Like, you come home when the streetlights are on, you have dinner with your family, you hang out, and then the next day is a whole new adventure. Like, we were outdoors playing, like, crazy all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, your teenage years was like that? Like, it sounds like you had, like, a lot of freedom in your, like...
That's when the freedom started. Actually,
oh, so that was more like teenage.
That was more younger, like the freedom started to go away when I was a teenager because I think Grandma Becky she was maybe raised in a more conservative, religious, traditional thing, and I think she was afraid that as soon as I became a teenager, I needed to continue my education and I needed to not go off and get pregnant.
Yeah.
There was very much a double standard for your uncles and your, like, me and your aunt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I got all, like, we got all the rules.
Can you, like, go into detail? Like, what are some of those rules that, like, you had and maybe your brothers didn't have?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's, like, the difference? Because it sounds like it wasn't really, like, equal.
It was not an equal situation. Tia Lisa will tell you the same thing. Grandma doesn't remember it quite the same, that the boys were the golden children and the girls were more of had to be the worker bees. But, we had curfews. Like, for example, I was the oldest of four. Two girls first, then two boys. My curfew and Lisa's curfew was always midnight. And even when Uncle Brett, who was 6 years younger, he got to stay out. Like, let's say if I'm an 18-year-old and he's a 12-year-old, he got to stay out, like, an hour later than me.
Oh, really?
Yes. So there were definitely double standards in terms of also grades. Like, Lisa and I were expected to make straight A's. And, you know, my mom was kind of hopeful if Uncle Brett and Uncle Jay passed their classes.
Yeah.
So they had to study, but they didn't have to study quite as hard.
Mm-hmm.
They had different curfews. They had different expectations. They had a lot more freedom to come and go as they pleased. And I think maybe a little bit less was expected of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was definitely different expectations, but, like, yeah, I think Grandma was very, 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 she was a strict parent. If you think I'm strict, oh my gosh, you have, like, the rainbows and unicorns life compared to Grandma, because I think I wanted to see, as a high schooler, I wanted to see the movie Flashdance, and it was R-rated. And I was not allowed to see R-rated movies, and I saw it behind her back. That was probably the worst thing I did in all of my high school, and I was grounded for 2 months.
Like, you were grounded for 2 months for watching Flashdance?
Yeah, yeah. And I had to quit my clubs that I like to do. I had to quit all of, like, I think I was on dance team, and I was, like, student council. So I had to quit, like, any activities. I couldn't hang out with my friends. I mean, we didn't have phone. Like, I couldn't use the home phone. Like, at that time, it's not like everybody had cell phones. We had, like, the awesome one phone upstairs, one phone downstairs that you had to go and physically be tied to a cord. Like, no. Yeah, like, your biggest privacy was pulling your cord around into the bathroom to try and have a conversation.
Oh, really?
So, super, super.
Was it kind of hard to have, like, privacy in your house?
Oh, my God.
There was small house.
We had a tiny house.
Four kids.
Yeah, we had like one shower, four kids, two adults most of the time, and then yeah, like privacy, forget it. And we all shared rooms. Like the two boys shared a bedroom and a bed. And then Lisa and I shared a room and a bed. And that was, let's just
crowded.
Say, that was, yeah, we were not the best of friends until college.
College?
Yes, yeah. Yes. We became, the sisters became best friends in college.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I feel like everyone in their teenage years, I've done this, it's like,
your vast teenage experience.
My vast teenage experience of like 3 years.
Yes. Of 2 years. Okay. Yes.
Almost okay. Like, whatever. Anyway.
You're worldly, so okay.
I feel like we all like, even now, you probably like think about your future, like what's going to happen in the future. In like high school, what do you think your future like would be? Is it like the same? Did it like all work out in a line or is it like different?
No. No, it's 100%. 100% different. So, like, remember, the town that I grew up in was pretty different than what you see when you go back to grandma's house. I grew up in that one town that my whole life and lived there until I went away to college. But I thought I would go to college, go to law school, become a lawyer, get married, have 11 children. What was I thinking? Crazy.
Like, that was a real number, like 11.
Yeah, and then just
say. Yeah, I thought you were going to have 11 children.
Yeah, I thought I would have 11 children. You know, I don't know why. I don't know how I would think that I could have 11 children and keep my sanity, let alone 11 children and a successful law career. I clearly.
Did you major
was
in law?
Delusional. So, excuse me. I did my undergraduate studies. Doing pre-law coursework. And then, I realized, like, I enjoyed that a lot, but I started doing some volunteer work, working at battered women's shelters, you know, because it was related to the law and, like family law. And I was so interested in that, and it was so, I don't know, it was very impactful that I realized, you know, maybe going into like law and society and like women's studies, it really changed the career. So instead of going to law school, I ended up getting my master's and working on PhD work and studying like to be a professor. And then, because nothing is ever simple, like nothing is linear in our life. That sort of like my area of study was child abuse, neglect, domestic violence, female sexual slavery, like the most depressing stuff, really important stuff, but like so depressing that the thought of studying that, like if you become a professor, usually like your area of study is what you do for the rest of your life. And the thought of doing that for the rest of my life was really, that was really rough to be in that like horribly like sad, almost feeling like a hopeless thing. So much to the dismay of the professors that I worked with, that they gave me so many opportunities to like learn how to like to publish and write journal articles and do research studies. I broke their heart when I totally switched out of that career and went back to school for fashion design.
Fashion design?
Yeah. So switching back to moving from Purdue in Indiana and then picking up and
doing fashion in New York.
Doing fashion in New York.
Yeah. That must have been, like, a big change for you, right? Because, like, Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh,
and, like, to New York, to, like, a city.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. Like, growing up in St. Louis, like, that area. Mm-hmm. Like, used to the city, but nothing like nothing.
But you weren't like, you didn't really like grow up in the city. You kind of grew up in like a little.
Yeah, more on the outskirts of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, college, I used to drive into downtown St. Louis every day, and that was like an interesting area. So it's, I lived in New York. I mean, and it was a great experience. I mean, one of the things that grandma taught me, I learned how to sew at age 5. Grandma and also my grandmothers were all seamstresses as well. So, I mean, it was a great experience living in New York. And being there, I think you realize this. So, like, I lived in Brooklyn. And I went back to school for fashion design basically as an adult student. And I think I was 28 when I switched careers. 28,
29. Was that like great scary for you? Because it's like you were doing something and then like all of a sudden you kind of like switch tracks, move to a new place and kind of like have to restart.
Yeah.
Meet new people.
Yeah. It was very, and it's such a weird field where everyone's always trying to impress everyone else. And that's not really my thing.
Yeah.
But like, I really enjoyed the challenge. Like I went back and did a very, intense, like special intensive program for people that already had college degrees.
Yeah.
So they condensed a couple years of study into one. Because they thought, if you've done college, you can handle this. And I will say, it's
quite
much
a challenge.
Yeah, it was very humbling. I was like, if I can pass my PhD exams, like fashion design school, I will tell you, like that program pretty much kicked my ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a great school for fashion design. I mean, your sister goes there now. I would get up in the morning, take the train into the city from Brooklyn, be in my classes by 8 a.m., stay at the lab working on like draping, pattern making, doing all of that stuff. Like every night I stayed at the college labs until like 2 a.m., would take the train back to Brooklyn, get home by 3 o'clock, sleep a few hours, wake up, do it all again. Have a little time on the weekends, but I mean, it was
and
a great
did you
experience.
Like that part of your life? Like,
I did.
Is it really like?
I loved it, and I stayed there for a few years after, because it's such an amazing city to be in, and I mean I was very thrifty, so I knew how to live like as a poor kid.
Yeah,
like I grew up like that, and so I had the biggest scary thing was. Before I had like super stable employment, like how I would pay my rent. When I was in graduate school though in Indiana, I had saved up a ton of money. Like I lived very frugally. And then I sold almost everything I had to be able to pay for New York. So I could basically do school debt free. I'd worked as a graduate student and saved every penny. But yeah, like I think the one thing that I regret about New York is that I lived there and was so poor when I lived there. I've moved to New Hampshire, we live like a very, very fortunate, very comfortable, like, so that I almost wish I had like the income that I have now to be able to spend.
Yeah. Would you go back to New York if you could?
I don't know. Like I love to visit there. I don't know.
Or not. Well,
It's different as an older person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because when we're visiting, you're like in the city.
Yeah, I'm super comfortable.
City life.
Super comfortable.
Leave us in the dust. You're on fifth. We're on like sixth. You're like walking.
Speed walking. I do like. I mean, I miss the diversity of people.
Yeah.
I miss that there is something to do at almost any hour that you can just jump on a train and like a whole new world opens up to you depending on like what stop you get out at.
Yeah.
I miss the thrift shops. I miss the bookstores. The fabric stores especially. yeah, like it was a great time, and I stayed in New York through until just a little bit after September 11th. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't leave because September 11th I had gotten a job at Timberland, and so they were paying my relocation to move from New York to Brooklyn, and like after I had accepted the job, that's September 11th happened. Mm-hmm. And I worked across from the Empire State Building, so it was like a very it was a sad time to leave, but in a way I was okay to leave and start something new.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, all these stories are a little bit rambling.
No, that's great, because then we can, like,
sure,
the ball off. So that's, like, basically about it, but I just want to ask you one last question that's, like, super broad.
Okay.
So, like, it's okay if, like, you can't come up with one answer, but, like, do you have any, like, regrets in your life? Like, what's something that you would have, like, if you could have changed something, if you can go back in time right now, would you change anything?
I don't know, that's a tough question. Just
like knowing what you have now, would you change anything?
I think maybe I would have spent less time at work when you guys were, like,
babies.
After having you guys. I mean, we needed the money, and my work was really demanding, and Papa was away a lot. So, yeah, maybe not stressed as much about work as I did doing that, but
yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel like you've missed out by
no
having that? I feel like you've had
had a great life.
You've had, like, good. I mean. Feel like you guys have been in, for the most part, like, you've been very fortunate to have, like your dad have a job that he could, like, be home a lot so that you didn't have to, you know, you didn't have to spend, like, every single day in daycare, but, I don't know. I mean, you can tell me.
What do you have in a great life?
What are your regrets for being in this family?
Well, that's a good note to leave it on.
No, I'm just kidding. Or flip it.
Well, thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome. Sorry, I'm like a little bit rambling. I'm also
no, I like it. It's kind of like
I'm sleep deprived. I'm tired. Yeah. I have a cold. I'm coming off of a cold.
Yeah.
And it was a long day at work.
It was nice. We did, like, a timeline. Childhood.
Sure.
To, like, mid.
Yeah. 20s, I mean, I have to say, 20s. Like, I, by maybe a lot of people's standards, it may have been kind of a rough childhood.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think I would.
But did you, like, enjoy your childhood?
Yeah. I had a great childhood. Like, it may have been rough, like, if we, like, growing up poor, but I don't think I would trade that.
Yeah.
Because
it, like, molds you.
Yeah.
And it, like, helps you understand
later. Yes, I have a greater appreciation for, I also have, like, a greater sense of fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the reasons I became a parent at such a, like, that's why you guys have an old parent is because, well, two reasons. Like, one, I wanted to be able to financially support you guys. Like, your father and I wanted to support you guys because we grew up in kind of financially unstable homes. So we decided not to have kids until we could support them. And then two, we were living in New York and we wanted to have as much fun as possible before we had kids.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm glad that you, tell me about your childhood, like, you and Papa, you tell me about it, because I feel like that kind of, like, helps me understand a bit, because, like, I live, like, in a really privileged place, and, like, you know, like, we don't really struggle.
We have not had to struggle, like, so I haven't, like, really
experienced it firsthand, So it's like good to hear your story. So like, I can know a little better.
You should ask your father, because like we've gone back and forth about that. Like when I was a middle schooler, my mom was like, yeah, you have to go to college. It's not an option not to go to college. And oh, by the way, I can't help you with it. I can't pay for any of it. So you need to start working now. So like I had a side hustle by age 10, I was saving money for college.
Oh, really?
Like
looking that far into your future.
Oh my gosh. Already? Yeah. Like it was an expectation like that I had to start saving when I was a kid, which is great, but it's also like, it's a huge responsibility. Yeah. Can you imagine that's yourself like being like 10? Like and carry. Having your own side hustle to start saving money for college. It's kind of ridiculous when I think about it. Like, so while like your sister's in college and you'll be going to school too with whatever you choose to do, like we struggle because you're like, I'm like, you need to have some skin in the game. So you need to be able to contribute for your college. Cause I think that when you contribute, my perspective might not work for everybody, but like when you have some skin in the game, you're going to appreciate it more. You're going to work harder. You're not going to be blowing off class as much.
Yeah.
As if like, rather than, you know, if you're not putting some skin in the game. Now your father, he, you know, similar experience, different cultural background, but you know, he had to really work to put himself through school too.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want you guys to have to struggle like he did. Whereas I'm like, oh, you need to struggle a little bit. Like, because I'm the hard ass of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Your father is the softy. And he's like, no, I don't want my girls to struggle. I don't want them to have to work that hard. So, I mean, we have a decent balance
in
our family.
But counteract each other.
I will be the one who pushes you more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be an accurate assessment to say, I'm going to push you more and your father's going to want you to have way more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the time. Fun. Be a playmate. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me interview. I'm going to cut it off there.
Okay. Sounds good. Good night.
Night. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. There we go.